Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the question that I would like to address in this morning's sermon is, how good are we in remembering the mercies of the Lord? I don't think I'm mistaken when I say that at times it happens so easily that we are so much taken up by the busyness of this life that we forget about the riches from which we may live. Selective memory, I would call this. To make clear what I mean with this, let me just give you a couple of examples. Say you suffered from a heart attack. You were taken to a hospital. Laying at the monitor in the intensive care unit, you prayed fervently, "Lord, please let this not be the end. Please grant that I may return home again." In that same prayer, you also promised, "Lord, if I may recover, I will change my life. From now on, it will be a life in thankfulness towards Thee." If the Lord indeed would grant recovery, you could not imagine that you would ever forget this critical moment in your life. Well, the Lord gave recovery. You were in the clouds. You appreciated good health more than ever before. Yet, after some time, it slowly faded away. You got into your old rut again. What actually became of that life of thankfulness that you promised? Once again, you are so preoccupied with other things that you forget to look back and thank God for what He gave you. Another example. Say you had to sit for an exam you dreaded. Your future career depended on it. Imagine you were to fail. You prayed, "Lord, please help me through, and I will always remain thankful for it." The Lord helped you through. Yet where is that constant thankfulness towards Him? You are busy making new plans, and God hardly features in these plans. Beloved, I think we can all identify with these two examples. Isn't this how it often goes? In this context, I also think of Remembrance Day. This past Wednesday, as a nation, we commemorated what a precious price has been paid for the freedom that we may enjoy. We think of the lives of thousands of servicemen killed in action not only during World War I and II, but even today in Iraq and Afghanistan. We remember in thankfulness. However, what happens after Remembrance Day? Life returns back to routine, and so often the freedom we may enjoy is simply taken for granted. Remembering the mercies of the Lord is not easy, neither in a time of prosperity, preoccupied as we are with our own affairs, nor in a time of adversity, preoccupied as we are with those present difficulties. In the text chosen for this morning's sermon, from verse 43, we read, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." The loving kindness of the Lord, as we may experience it also in our national freedom. Freedom by living in a country where on Sunday we can still go to church to listen to the preaching of the gospel unhindered. Also, this is something so often taken for granted by us. Yet this too is a gracious gift from God's fatherly hand. Remembrance Day is a beautiful opportunity to ask ourselves the question, what are we doing with this gift? That's why I have chosen as text for this morning's sermon some verses from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 speaks about deliverance, being freed from oppression, but at the same time, it also points out the Lord should be giving thanks for it. I think here of the refrain verse, which comes back four times, in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I preach you the Word of God under the following heading. The Lord asks His children to thank Him for His redemptive work in history. In this morning's sermon, we'll pay attention to three points. Why we have to give thanks, for what purpose, and to the fruit of this thanksgiving. The theme of Psalm 107, brothers and sisters, is to praise the Lord for His mercy. The author makes this clear in the first verse of this psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. The author calls these mercies of God to mind, lest God's people forget. The first question we have to address here is, in the context of Psalm 107, what are these mercies of God to which the author refers? For an answer to this question, we are to look at the connection with the previous psalm. One may wonder whether there is indeed such a connection, especially since Psalm 107 is the beginning of a new book in the book of Psalms, Book 5. Yet there is a connection with the previous psalm. From Psalm 106, the concluding psalm of Book 4, we learn that more often than not, the Israelites had no appreciation whatsoever for God's redemptive work in history. Whenever God gave redemption, for a moment they believed, sang praises of joy. For example, when they had crossed the Red Sea. But then it reads in verse 13 in Psalm 107, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress." This happened after God had brought his people out of Egypt and had led them through the Red Sea. However, once they had entered the promised land, things did not change. Again, in Psalm 106, verses 34 and following, "They did not listen to the command of the Lord to destroy the peoples, but they mingled with the Gentiles and served their idols." The result was that the Lord gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. Israel was sent in exile, since it had no appreciation for God's redemptive work. Whenever God showed them his mercy, the memory of it was short-lived. Nevertheless, the final verses of Psalm 106 shows that in exile, Israel once again cries out to the Lord, "Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." Well, in Psalm 107, we now read that the Lord indeed answered this prayer. The Israelites had to give thanks to the Lord since he indeed did redeem them, did gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That's the starting point of Psalm 107. God indeed did deliver his people. His mercies toward Israel did not come to an end. After all, Israel was his chosen nation, and from this nation, the Messiah had to be born. Thus, despite Israel's unfaithfulness, God remained faithful towards the promise he had given. It is for this reason that the author of Psalm 107 calls the redeemed children of the Lord to thank the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 107 thus takes its starting point in the redemption of Israel from exile. Once again, God had gathered his people around the temple service in Jerusalem. Therefore, in the first place, the returned exiles are addressed here. They had suffered afflictions from all sides, yet repeatedly the Lord had rescued them. Psalm 107, thus, is a psalm which wants to teach us what we experience, be it personally or as a church, is not coincidental. What you experience, so the author says, are deeds of the Lord. In this context, the author mentions four examples of human need. A point of discussion is how these four pictures of human need relate to Psalm 107 as a whole. But we must see it like this. Together, the people give thanks to the Lord for the redemption received from his hand, whereby, in addition, each individual also refers to what he or she had experienced personally. If so, then in these four pictures, we receive some kind of summary of what the exiles had experienced during the time God gathered them from the nations. It is questionable whether the four pictures have indeed this purpose. More likely, by way of these four pictures, the author of Psalm 107 wants to stress how great the dangers were from which the Lord had saved his people at the time he brought them back from exile. The Lord had rescued them from no less than death, whereby we must give thought to death also as the wages of sin. I think here in particular of verses 11 and 17, where we read about rebellion against God and affliction because of iniquity. Thus, in these four pictures, we find a description of the power of death, a power which shows that man left to himself is completely helpless. Some, so the author says, wandered in the desert, almost dying from hunger and thirst. Some sat in exile or in prison. Some were seriously ill. Some suffered shipwrecked and almost drowned. The author also says that in all these crises, the Lord was actively present. Even stronger, the Lord calls these crises into existence. I may refer here to verse 12, where it reads, "So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help." Verse 25 says, "For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves." Also verses 33 and 34. "He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there." That's the one side. The Lord calls these crises into existence. But he is also the one who gave deliverance. The refrain in these four pictures repeatedly is, when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And he calmed the storm so that its waves were still. Well, it is for this reason that the author calls those who had been redeemed to thank the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works, lest they forget. Yes, in verse 43, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Beloved, at times we so easily forget about the mighty deeds of the Lord. Earlier in this sermon, I referred to Psalm 106, which highlights these deeds in such a wonderful way. It mentions how the Lord led his people out of Egypt with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. Via wondrous signs, the Lord showed his people his almighty power. However, already at the Red Sea, they liked to go back to Egypt. After the Lord had led them through the deep and had saved them from the hand of their enemy, they sing praises to God. Yet this is only for a moment. A short time later, once again, they have forgotten his works. That's how it went with Israel in the desert, but also later on in the Promised Land. This danger of selective memory, beloved, threatens God's people continuously. As I mentioned it in the beginning of the sermon, by way of a few examples, having been delivered from distress, affliction, or sickness, we render our thanks to God, but only for a moment. When life returns back in its routine, we seem to have forgotten about it. Nothing changed. We carry on as before. Thankfulness is often short-lived among us also. In this context, I think once again also of Remembrance Day, a day on which we as God's people do not boast in men and what they have done, but we reflect on God's hand in history. For it is God who, throughout World War I and II, as well as other wars, gave freedom to thousands of people. I realize we can't identify the history of Israel under the Old Testament with what God has done in the previous century. Nevertheless, we too are called to remember, thankfully, God's wondrous deeds worked in the history of mankind, also in the 20th century. As God's children, we too are called to sing a song of praise on the mighty works of the Lord. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The fool leaves God out of the picture. He may do well in life, being a successful student or businessman, yet he is truly a fool. He fails to see and acknowledge the dominating force in history and life, the Lord, our almighty and ever-present God. Giving heed to the deeds of the Lord, beloved, should cause us to speak differently about what is going on in this world, in our own country, and in society. For example, then on Remembrance Day, we give thought not first of all to national freedom, but the main point is that through this freedom conquered in World War I and II, Christ's gathering church, the work could continue. God gave freedom to preach the word. He gave freedom to thousands of people to serve him. That's how we ought to commemorate Remembrance Day, in thankfulness towards the Lord, that we too may still serve him in freedom. When seeing Remembrance Day in this perspective, it can become clear also that we ought to show this thankfulness not only once a year. Remembrance Day is not meant to commemorate the events of the past just for one day, whereafter we can simply return to our normal life as if nothing had happened. Instead, we are to use the freedom we have received to the glory of God in His service, lest one day this freedom will witness against us. This brings me to my second thought, namely the purpose for which we have to give thanks. God requires thankfulness for the deliverance He gives. That's the theme of Psalm 107. In the various examples of human need, pictured by the author of this psalm, repeatedly he calls the people who are saved to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verses 7, 15, 21, and 31. The author mentions four pictures of danger, misery, and death from which the Lord delivered. Well, this deliverance requires thankfulness from a heart that is completely devoted to the Lord. Putting it this way, Psalm 107 thus teaches us the same threefold division as we meet it also in the Heidelberg Catechism: misery, redemption, and thankfulness. However, this makes also clear that even in the context of Psalm 107, we must not give thought to deliverance from earthly, temporary misery only. True, the examples mentioned indeed do speak about deliverance from earthly afflictions. Yet, and that's the point here, why does God deliver people from earthly trouble? Not that from now on, once again, they can live life to the full, just living it up for themselves. Instead, God gives freedom, deliverance, so that from now on we may use our life to serve Him. That's what true thankfulness is all about. Then we praise God not just with our lips, but also in deeds. What does this now mean in actual terms? For an answer, I may once again refer you to Psalm 107. I think here of what we read in the verses 22 and 32 of this psalm. Verse 22 reads, "Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy." And verse 32 reads, "Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders." In regards to the elders mentioned in verse 32, these were in the Old Testament the leaders of the nation. Thus, translating verse 32 in today's language, this verse teaches us that we are to speak of God's wonderful deeds of redemption, not only within the church, but also in public life, in the company of elders. This means we are to address also the government. As church, we have a word for the world. Therefore, as long as we still have freedom of speech, we should not keep silence. Instead, let us use the opportunities to address also government and nation with the word of God, in order that they too may use today's freedom in the right manner. Remembrance Day is a beautiful opportunity to do so. Let us as church members show the community why the freedom we have is so precious to us, not as an opportunity to live it up, but an opportunity to spread the word of God and to promote God's kingdom. Then in this life of vulnerable freedom, we may speak about the perfect freedom in Christ, which one day will be revealed to those who did not live up the freedom they received for themselves, but served God with it instead. This brings me to my third and last thought. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoever is wise, the wisdom spoken about here is the wisdom of faith. It's only in and through faith that one learns to open his eyes for God's wonderful deeds in the history of mankind. Yes, when living by faith, one will see God's power and majesty, as spoken about also in Psalm 107. I think now in particular of the second part of this psalm, verse 33 and following, where the author expresses confidence that also as in regards the future, the Lord will continue to show His power. After all, what God has done in the past serves as a guarantee for what He will do in the future. Also, for this reason, it's good not to forget about the mercies of the Lord. For God, as the faithful God of the covenant, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To see God's hand in history, beloved, gives rest and peace. Those who do not see this hand may, as far as the eye meets, still enjoy the freedom we have. However, from Psalm 107, we learn that earthly freedom is vulnerable indeed. God can also take it away. Where we read in verse 33 and 34, He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who live there. Yet all this will not disturb those who live by faith. Verse 42 reads, They see it and rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Since they see God's hand in all these things, they know that through fruitful and barren years, through rain and drought, through economical high days and recession, God settles His affairs in this world. Whoever is wise will observe these things. Beloved, are you wise? Give heed to the deeds of the Lord. Then you too have every reason to thank Him for His steadfast love and mercies. Mercies also during times of crisis. Often we see dark clouds, forgetting that behind those clouds the sun is shining. We forget, even though can know better. When thinking about it, in fact, it's all so simple. You only have to look back and see what God did in the past. How often did God not drive away a storm, either from our personal life, from us as churches, or as a country, clearing the skies? Perhaps we have already forgotten about it again. Nevertheless, God was there to help us through. His fatherly hand did not fail in driving away so many storms already. Simply look back, remembering the mercies of the Lord. Look back, beloved, ultimately as far as Golgotha, where God, in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, delivered us from the greatest distress, sin. After 3 hours of darkness, God cleared the sky again, and this for you and me, beloved. The darkness was driven away so that we may walk in the light, always. Summing it all up, beloved, God not only wants to hear prayers, He also wants to be thanked for what He has done for you. God wants to be thanked that you are His child, who in Christ has been set free from eternal condemnation. That's God's greatest mercy shown to us. On top of it, we still receive also national freedom and so many more benefits from God's fatherly hand in the things of everyday life. There is a hymn, and a few lines come to mind. Count your blessings one by one. Count them all, forget not one. These lines on their own are very scriptural. I think here of Psalm 116, where we read the same. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? To give thanks to the Lord, how much time do we spend on that, beloved? Counting our blessings one by one, we would never finish that job. Since the blessings of the Lord are innumerable, countless, His mercies are new over us every morning again. Yet from our side, so often, we take them for granted. Blessings received in the past, do we still remember them? That time we were in the hospital and our life hung by a thread, yet the Lord gave recovery. That job I thought I never would get, and yet I received it. Perhaps already some time ago again, but are we thankful for it still? Thankfulness, also among us, it's often so short-lived. Our memory is often very selective. We can ponder for ages on the negative side of life, the worries and the concerns. And surely I don't want to make light of them this morning, for they can indeed make life hard. They can bring a person down. However, when remembering God's mercy of the past, how He cleared the skies after many a storm, it may help us to see the light again and to show thankfulness. Start counting your blessings, beloved. It gives you less time to worry. In Christ, we have received life. Moreover, there are still so many other benefits that you may enjoy as well. Therefore, count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. And praise Him for it. Yes, give thanks to God rejoicing, because the Lord is good. Bless Him with anthems voicing your love and gratitude. He who our peace ensures, forsakes His promise never. His steadfast love endures, and we are His forever. Amen.